Grand Traverse County needs a new jail. Community advocates say it. People who have been incarcerated say it. Even the guy who runs the jail, the sheriff, says it. This is not a new idea. The conversation's been going on here for at least 2 decades. But there's been very little progress on making any improvements actually happen. We'll explore why this week on the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. The sheriff in Grand Traverse County used to be a guy named Tom Bensley, but he retired in 2023. As he left office, he did an interview with the Traverse City Record Eagle. The topic of the jail came up, and Sheriff Bensley told the newspaper that the jail is, quote, the biggest liability the county has. Hardly the first time that opinion has been voiced, and certainly not the last. The current sheriff agrees. In fact, we'll hear from him in just a sec. But we're starting with a former inmate, because you have to understand what the 60-year-old facility looks like on the inside in order to understand why so many say a new jail is so urgently needed. IPR contributor Max Howard has the story.
That jail hasn't changed. It's just getting older and older and older, and almost seems like it's getting darker and darker and darker.
Ramon Fernandez knows the condition of the jail well.
So I've been in jail several times over the years.
He says on a typical day he would draw, but other than that, there's not much to do.
Like Hallmark card type of stuff. You know, I'm a romantic, and I like to draw stuff for my wife.
There are a few programs to get inmates out of their cells and occupied, but the jail is limited by its physical space, only having room for one program at a time.
So it's just dark and just boring. There's not much to do. We're lucky to go to a gym maybe once a week. The gym, really, there's nothing there. You just walk around in circles. There's just no room.
If there was like one thing that you would, if you were able to change one thing about the jail, what would that be?
Space. Space. I mean, I think about animals on a farm have more space to live and be able to just breathe.
One of the programs Fernandez did get involved in was the weekly Catholic worship services. It was there that he met Tom Busamra, the president of the nonprofit before, during, and after incarceration, and was able to connect with more resources. I interviewed Fernandez at Busamra's home in Traverse City.
I was a very proud man before. You know, I didn't want to ask for help. It's you can get caught in this vicious cycle that's hard to break out of, that I broke out of.
And while Busamra and his nonprofit primarily work directly with those incarcerated, they've also increased their push for change on the county level.
We wrote a forum article in the Record Eagle. Yesterday we were interviewed in a podcast, and now here you are talking to us about this. And I think these are all good ways for us to advocate for something that needs to take place.
Busamra, who's also a Catholic deacon, has been involved in jail ministry for 38 years, all the while at the same 1964 building. But it's not just Grand Traverse County that's having this issue. Jails and prisons all over the country are aging. One third of all federal prisons, for example, are over 50 years old. On the financial level, the U.S. Department of Prisons reported a repair backlog of about $3 billion last year. Only $179 million of that number was allocated to the agency by Congress in a fiscal package. The nonprofit's latest push came after Grand Traverse County recently assessed its buildings, including the jail, but progress has been slow.
They're dissatisfied with all their public facilities. So they did an assessment, and including in that a new jail. So there's that little impetus going on. I picked up the ball and wanted them to look at it as phase one. Move that up. We need a jail now, not 3 or 4 years from now.
He says the personnel running the jail has improved throughout the years. They've hired a new social worker, which is a big plus for him. And they're in the works to hire a discharge planner, which will ease the inmates' transition back into the world. Busamra's problem isn't with the staff. It's with the building itself.
I give the sheriff quite a bit of credit for trying to move the needle on the human dignity and a humane approach. But we still have the dark facility.
So what exactly is wrong with the jail? And why has little progress been made to renovate or replace it? To start, I spoke with Grand Traverse County Sheriff Michael Shea, and he acknowledged the jail's outdated design. The building, he says, was built when people had different ideas about incarceration.
This current facility which was originally built in early 1960, was designed to hold inmates in, and it functions very well that way. What has changed drastically is our inmate population.
The broader trend in law enforcement has moved farther away from simply housing inmates and more towards rehabilitation.
We have become the local state hospital, if you will. We have 38% of our population at the last study suffer from serious mental health issues. 60%+ suffer from some sort of mental health as well as substance use disorder or coexisting disorders. We're not designed to deal with and accommodate that type of a population.
There are a number of ways the jail's design affects inmates' mental health. For one, there's little natural light, only a few windows really. There's no access to a yard. For some cells, the most natural light they'll get will be their weekly visit to the gym, which has a retractable roof. But besides the mental health aspect, Shea says the age of the jail is a concern as well.
But our infrastructure is shot. We have valves that can't be shut off. We have parts to certain locking mechanisms that are non-existent if they break. You either have to have someone manufacture them or you piece them back together.
Sheriff Shea gave me a tour of the jail, asking me to leave my recording equipment outside. As we walked, he pointed out decades-old leaks in the ceilings. He pointed out certain locks to high alert cells so old that they could no longer be replaced. And finally, he took me to the control room where a young officer watched 60-plus cameras for his 12-hour shift. You can see how someone could easily die by hanging, Shea leaned over to tell me in the control room. The guards check the cells in person, but with the jail's linear layout, there's no easy way for a guard to check multiple cells at once. And already, suicide has happened a number of times in the jail, most recently to a man named Michael Smith, who committed suicide back in 2022.
If the question is, will a brand new facility or a modernized facility mitigate suicides? The answer is no. Will it help reduce? Yes, I truly believe that there are certain conditions that can be improved upon, and in a new modern facility with better observation, I think it can be reduced.
There's an analogy that Shea used that I think puts this conversation in a wider context. Being the largest law enforcement agency north of Grand Rapids, Shea sees the Grand Traverse County Jail as the hub at the center of a wheel. The spokes are smaller nearby jails, some newer like Leelanau and Wexford County, while others still need their own renovations. They all work together to keep things moving, but the Grand Traverse County Jail is at the center of it all. And the center, Shea tells me, is falling apart.
Max Howard with that story. If the case is so open and shut, a former inmate, an activist, and the sheriff all agree, why do we still have this old jail? We'll explore that question after a short break. Stay with us.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
I'm doing a survey for IPR. Would you have time for a quick question?
How quick?
It's one question.
Okay.
What do you think our state bird should be?
The state bird.
It's a robin, right? That's right.
It's a robin. I'd say if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Chickadees are cool.
State bird? Eagle.
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 Easy.
Easy. That or a bear?
State bridge?
Bird.
I don't think I know enough about birds to say what the state bird should be.
Probably something local, like either like a cardinal, a blue jay, or a robin, I'd say.
Which bird best represents Michigan? tell us what you think at interlochenpublicradio.org. While you're there, you'll also be able to read up on the Michigan history of the robin and multiple attempts to unseat Michigan's current state bird. You also have a chance to hash this out in person, by the way, at an upcoming event or two. Details on all this bird talk at interlochenpublicradio.org. Welcome back to the Up North Lowdown. I'm Ed Ronco. Just before the break, we heard about problems with the Grand Traverse County Jail, and the voices we heard all seem to agree that something needs to change. The jail has been remodeled a few times over the past 6 decades, but the idea of a brand new building does not have a lot of traction. Why not? Here again, IPR contributor Max Howard.
Grand Traverse County Sheriff Michael Shea says his office and the county's Board of Commissioners are at a stalemate. This audio is from a board study session in October where Commissioner Darrell Nelson and Sheriff Shea talk about the future of the jail. Here's Commissioner Nelson.
One of the things I always see with the jail, and I don't mean this to sound like being critical, I'm not, but it's always the look back, and I guess I'd like to see the future.
Nelson wants a financial analysis before any commitments are made. In other words, he's aware of the problem, but wants more details about what needs to be done. But to Shea, this seems like a promise he and his predecessors have seen before. This is Shea from the same meeting.
I'm not going to dispute that it would be helpful. With no direction from the commission on what your thoughts are, it, with all due respect, is kind of a waste of our time that we just don't have. I mean, this is a 20-30 year conversation that's been ongoing.
Right.
I later called Commissioner Nelson, and he expressed a need for patience and caution.
I think the sheriff is frustrated, and I think I was frustrated after that the sheriff couldn't provide a real clear answer of even kind of an idea of where they wanted to go. But I think whether it's $35 or $50 million, you don't shoot from the hip.
There's this stalemate at the moment. The sheriff asks for something to be done. The board asks for detailed plans. It's a cycle the jail conversation seems to be stuck in. But another commissioner, TJ Andrews, thinks plans are stuck because of inaction of the board.
I think it has to be the Board of Commissioners because, frankly, the Board of Commissioners is the one who's going to end up having to figure out the funding mechanism for it. What I think my suspicion is that if the board isn't behind it, it's not going anywhere. And until the board says this is our priority and we're going to make it happen and we're going to put the resources into it, no one else believes it's going to happen.
There are no immediate plans, but Commissioner Nelson says the jail is a priority.
It is on the radar. I can't show you a plan. I can't show you a date. But we're very serious about looking at what we need in our county.
And in the meantime, Shea will work with what he's got.
We have to keep operating, so we're going to do what we need to do. We just need to decide what do we want to do. And it will, unfortunately, it will cost some money. We know that. But so does everything.
And while budgets are discussed and caution is exercised, inmates keep coming into the jail. Inmates much like Ramon Fernandez.
The way I see it, yes, you do have to pay and suffer the consequences. But you should also be rehabilitating. And to rehabilitate, you have to have some sources. There should be something available that you can consume yourself in while you're there. You know, there should be a light at the end of the tunnel that should be provided, not just be thrown into a dungeon and say, okay, you committed a crime, you're going to do this time, and then that's it.
For now, there are no plans for major renovations or new facilities. The building stays as is, like Fernandez said, growing older and darker.
That story came to us from IPR contributor Max Howard. You can see the photos for this story and explore more from the IPR newsroom on our website, iprnews.org. I'm Ed Ronco. Our producer is Max Copeland. The stories in this episode were reported by Max Howard. Music comes from Blue Dot Sessions, and we produce this podcast at Interlochen Public Radio. This is our first episode of the new year, and there's something new we want to tell you about. Max Howard, who was a real MVP this week, we should say. Well, Max became a dad. Again, his wife, Sarah, just gave birth to their third baby this week. So maybe she's the real MVP. Anyway, as he was leaving the hospital, Max happened upon a harp player in the lobby. So he did what any radio producer would do, even with a lack of sleep and a brand new baby. He pointed a microphone at it. So that is our sonic send-off this week. Thank you for listening, and Happy New Year. Oh, and to one of you in particular, happy new life.
Megan Hetfield and her partner Ronnie Pilisher are watching the solar eclipse on Lake Ontario.
It was a very, very intense, beautiful experience. And then there was the sand.
The sand squeaked when they walked on it.
Can you try to make the sound?
You might need to give me like two or three chances. Like, no, that's too wet. No, I can't do it.
They wanted to know, why is this sand squeaking?
Just like, how is this happening?
Find out next time on Points North. That episode of Points North is available now. Listen to it wherever you're hearing this podcast.